All right. Now for a short two-verse sermon. That's what I never say two-verse sermon. But anyway, Christ is moving towards completing his Sermon on the Mount. He's moving into the really important things. I mean, not that any of it was not important, but I mean, he's like bringing this thing home. And he's given us a tremendous picture of what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. The attitudes we should have. Being salt, being light. What the Word of God means as the way God looks at it rather than the way we look at it. We are to seek the kingdom. We're to serve in the kingdom. How we treat others. You know, all these things he's been talking about. And he brings it to this place where he talks about there's only two roads. You know, it's like you know, people talk about religion. And they'll say, man, which religion, you know, is the right one? There's so many. Well, there's really only two. There's really only two religions. Faith and works. You either get into heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, or you're working your way to heaven. You have to do something. You know, whatever it may be. And that's really it. It's the only two religions. And there are only two roads. Two roads on which to travel. There's only two destinations, because roads go somewhere. You know, unless it's a road being built by the government, in which case it's a road to nowhere. But roads go somewhere. And there are only two roads to be on, spiritually. And there are only two destinations for mankind. And Jesus puts it in two verses. And in verse 13, we see, Jesus called himself the way, the truth, the life. You know, he talks about the way, and this is the way of the condemned. Verse 13 gives us the way of the condemned. It says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Okay, so the gate that lets you in is very wide. And then when you open the gate, there's a very broad road there, okay, that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The road to hell is the road to destruction. It's one and the same. And John has an interesting way of putting this, because you know what? Every one of us has been on this road. It says, he that believes on him, speaking about Jesus, is not condemned. You know, this is right after, this is 3:18. You know, I have people a lot of times talk to me about John 3:16, and we all know John 3:16. I say, but what about 3:18? Because this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. He that believes on him is not condemned. Okay, so, you know, because he just got through saying if you believe on Jesus, right, you have eternal life. But he that believes not is condemned already. And a lot of people forget this. You know, there's an attitude in the world, you know, well, I'm going to try and do some good things, and when I get to heaven, or, you know, when I get before God, I'll find out. No, the Bible's already answered that. If you don't have the Lord, you're already condemned. We were born condemned. They're condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Boy, isn't that true? Because why? Their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Isn't that, you know, just like people try to shine light on what goes on in our government. And there's a tremendous resistance. Then when they do give information out, they have half of it blocked out. They call it redacted. Because they don't want it to come to light. Because why? People would get upset. But you know what? We're the same way. When we do things wrong, we don't want anyone to know. Why? Because we're going to get reproved. We're going to be held accountable for what we do. Satan has an advantage. You need to understand this. Satan has an advantage. We are all born on this road. Because when you're born, you don't know Christ. You know, you're innocent, you know, little babies. You know, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, there's a time in all of our lives when we were very small, we didn't know what right or wrong was. That's called innocence. You know, little child. They don't, you know, they're being selfish. You know, they're being cranky, and you know, whatever, manipulative. You know, little baby manipulates its mom. They find out very quickly, you know, if they cry, you'll pick them up. But they don't really know what they're doing. They don't understand that. But there comes this place where you understand, now it's sin, now you're lost, and you're already on the road. You're dead. You're dead in your sin. And everybody is born on this road. And that's why the gate is so wide. Because all mankind, with the exception of Christ himself, has been on this road. So the wide gate, and here's part of our problem, the wide gate has an abundance of choices. An abundance of choices. There's a lot of things that this road offers us to keep us from God. I got some of them listed. Pleasure. I mean, people, you know, I've had a lot of people, you know, they say things like, oh, you know, God wants me to be happy. And, you know, I don't think he wants us to be depressed, but you know, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where happiness is guaranteed. Joy is guaranteed, but joy is different than happiness. Okay? Joy is separate from your circumstances. You can have joy in any circumstance. But pleasure, you know, the world offers pleasure. Oh, you know, if it feels good, do it. You know, if everybody's doing it, you know, you want to know something? If everybody, remember, the gate is wide. So if everybody's doing it, it's probably wrong. Because the gate is wide. Okay? But pleasure. And boy, we got a pleasure-seeking country, that's for sure. How about promotion? The world offers, hey, you know, you can be successful. You know, there is promotions, you know, to be had. All these things are going to make you happy. You deserve it. Possessions. You can have great possessions. Lots of things. And listen, these things of in of themselves are not evil. It's okay to have possessions. God blesses with possessions many, many times. But the world is saying, you know, that's the end. That's, you know, that's the whole goal. Okay? Is to have pleasure, have promotion, have possessions, have power. Even piety. What's piety? You know, being religious. You know, there's a whole lot of very religious people on their way to hell. They're very religious, and they believe sincerely in what they believe, but it doesn't line up with what God says in His Word. It's deception, which is what Satan uses, and they go down this wide road. It also offers what? Distractions and delights. There's all kinds of things. Isn't it amazing how many things come up when you're trying to do something for God? It can be even as simple as getting up in the morning and say, I'm going to go to church today. And all this junk happens. There are distractions, different things that go on. You know, I used to be distracted a lot. I mean, I still get distracted. And I think we all do. It's, you know, we get so busy in our lives. But, you know, when I was young in the Lord, you know, it was cool to come to church and all that. But buddy, if there was a good football game on, I wasn't going to miss it. And you can fill in the blank, whatever it was for you. Because everybody's got different stuff that distracts them. And delights, things that you delight in. Well, I like, you know, church is good and all that, but I really like this. Or serving in this way. You know, boy, if I come and practice on Wednesday night, boy, I really delight in this other thing I do on Wednesday night. That distracts us. And that's what this road is full of. Our delights, you know, Satan will use our delights against us. He will use our distractions in our life against us. And then it all comes down to what we would call the bad stuff. It ends up in vices, vanity, and violence. That's what this road offers. It's an abundance of choices to keep us right where we're at. You know, that's what Satan wants you to do, by the way. Even if you're saved, he wants to keep, he doesn't want you to grow. He may have lost his opportunity. You know, if you trusted in Christ, well, you know, he can't have your soul, but he can sure keep you from growing. And he can sure use these things because we're still affected by the world, aren't we? We live in it. We have to be affected by it. Unless we keep focused and keep the world in its place. So there's an abundance of choices. And you know what? You're not alone. There's an abundance of company on this road. A lot of gifted and great people are on this road. There's also a lot of people that just flat, openly reject Christ on this road. People that reject the truth of the Word of God on this road. There are multitudes of everyday folks. It's not just the great and the gifted. There's multitudes of everyday folks who think they are on a good path because they're good people. Listen, everybody in our country thinks they're going to heaven. I mean, and even the ones that reject everything, at the funeral, they'll get up and give a testimony and go, well, they're at that bar in the sky, you know, or whatever. I mean, they all think this. There's something that they're thinking. He's in that big, you know, if it was a football player, he's on that football field in the sky. He's on that motorcycle in the sky. You know, whatever it was, their thing was. There's an abundance of company on this road. Look at Proverbs. There is a way. There is a road. There is a path which seems right to a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's not written once in the Bible. It's written twice, word for word. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, identical. You think God wanted to get our attention? There's ways that seem right to us. But the end of it is death and destruction. And God's warning us. Listen, this road, it starts off broad. It says it's a broad road because there's so many people on it. It's broad. But you know what? It narrows. as you go down this road. This road narrows. The king of this world, Satan, the king of this world presides on this road. His realm is darkness. He wants to keep you in the dark. He doesn't want you to see truth. God is about truth. God is about light. You know, God's about getting things in the open so you can deal with it. Satan's realm is darkness. And his rule is bondage. He makes you a slave to your sin. And you're in bondage. And his reign has one purpose. One. You say, well, Satan does a lot of things. Yeah, he does. But you know what? It really comes down to one purpose. Revenge. It's revenge against God in the form of ruin and damnation of mankind. Think about it. Who are we? We're created in the image of God. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. Yes, you and me. Flawed as we are the ultimate of God's creation. He created this whole universe, and then he created mankind and put them on it. And said, here, it's all yours. I did this for you. And then we handed it over in the form of Adam. I mean, we personally didn't do it, but Adam and Eve, they handed it over to Satan. And he's been doing with it ever since. And he's been attacking mankind ever since. Why? You're a child of God. Well, you know what we're singing about? I am who I say, who he says I am. You know? That's who we are. And even if we don't believe it, Satan knows it. And he's attacking it. It's his way. He's been tossed from heaven by God. He was going to make himself as the Most High, and God shut him down. And he's been after it ever since. And he's been after you and your children and everyone else ever since. And this road, it offers no real joy or lasting pleasure. Oh, sin has its pleasure for a season, obviously, right? Why do we sin? Because it does feel good for a while. Or it does give us some sort of, you know, high for a while. You know, but it always comes to an end. It always brings you down at the end. Listen, Satan's formula. Okay, what is Satan's formula for joy? It's ever increasing doses for ever diminishing delight. Think about it. I remember, you know, when I first started drinking, I could just drink one can of beer or something, felt pretty good. But after a while, one can wouldn't do it. Then it was two. Then it was a six-pack. You know, then it was, you know, I used to go to my friend's house on Monday night football. And in Florida, Monday night football starts at 9 at night and gets over around midnight or 1. And we'd drink the whole 3 or 4 hours watching a football game. Underage. Because we all had friends that were of age. I mean, sin, you know, if you want to do it, you'll find a way. And it takes more and more, whether it's alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or sexual perversion. And sexual starts off innocent enough, so to speak, but it ends up perverted because we have this, you know, it has to get crazier and crazier to satisfy when you are possessed by this. And that's why you see these atrocities in the world. And that's when Satan's got a hold of somebody. And it's ever increasing just to maintain the level of satisfaction. And it goes on and on, only to destroy you in the end. How many people have been destroyed by drugs and alcohol and sex industry? It just goes on and on. And this road gets narrower. And it gets still narrower as we get older. Because what happens with old age? Handicaps, limitations, our health, our faculties begin to fail. And guess what? Your friends start dying. And as your friends die, this road becomes increasingly lonely and frightening. It's interesting. I in my position and over the years, my position here and over the years past, dealt with people that are dying, Christians, a lot of them. And unfortunately, there's a lot of fear there. And of course, there's always, because death is not something, you know, like I can say, well, I've done that before. You know? Because once we've done something before, we're not as afraid of it, right? You know, something, you try something, even like a new job, right? You go on a new job, there's a lot of fear and trepidation. Why? Because, man, you don't know how this is going to go. You know, you're dealing with people you never dealt with before. There's a lot of fear. You know, just uncertainty brings fear for us. But then once we get comfortable, that's why people stay in a job that's really not good for them. They stay forever, you know, forever in that thing. Why? Because they're comfortable. They know what to expect. Yeah, I know it's not good, but at least I know what I'm getting into. You know, and if I change a job, whoa, I don't know what's going to happen here. But with death, I mean, there's been a few people come back from the dead, you know, Lazarus and, you know, the widow's son and, you know, different things like that. But, you know, I mean, hello, how many really? Not a whole lot of people out there with experience with death. So we have fear. And it's really sad because we should not have fear. Death is just an incident in life for the Christian. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And I get it. You know, I want to see my grandchildren grow up. And I mean, I get that. That's our human relationship love that we have. But boy, when you come to that place where you know this is it, regardless of where you're at in your family or, you know, what's going on in your life, you're either going to have peace or you're going to be scared. And we ought to have peace. I know that's easy to say, but it's still true. We ought to have peace because our faith is in the Lord and His promises. So the road gets narrower and narrower until it comes to an end. And death comes. And it's too late, as you realize it really did, as the verse says, lead to destruction. Now, there are some people that teach that this word means you no longer exist. There are people that believe this is it. That, you know, we're an accident, you know, evolution, some big bang happened a billion years ago, and all this came about, just lucky how it all worked out. And this, so I'm just going to live it up because, you know, if I got 50, 60, 70, whatever the years are, I want to enjoy them because, you know what, when I die, that's it. And that's why a lot of people are electing for the suicide stuff and all that. You know, they're, oh, well, you know, I'm terminal, whatever. I've got this. My life's not worth anything now. So just take me out because, you know what, there's nothing more. How sad they are, or how sad it is that they find out that way that there is more. Because there is. But this destruction does not mean it. It does not mean extinction. It does not mean a loss of being, like you're there. It's really what it means is ruin. You're going into ruin. You're going into a loss of well-being. I think I could simply describe hell as a place where you lose your well-being. That's an understatement. Look at Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. You get in the drift on this? You know, there's light and there's darkness. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. People that are out there that don't know this truth, they are stumbling in the darkness. They don't even know it's dark. Remember that verse Jesus just got through saying, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? People that think they know. And they say, I'm on the way, you know, I'm in the light. And they are in darkness. How great that darkness is. Because it's going to cost them their very souls. And they don't even know. They are stumbling and they don't even know it. Here, destruction refers to eternal spiritual punishment and damnation in hell. That is exactly what this word means. Now, how would you like me to end the sermon here? It is sobering, and it ought to be. Because you know what? This life is serious business. You know, what we did yesterday, you know, there was some people that came up and said, it is good what you guys are doing. There was people that came up and said that. And there was people that came up and they were at, you know, there's a hunger out there. Brad was saying, you know, people seem to be, because he was out there working the crowd, as I call it, you know. He was out there with our materials. And he was actually confronting people with their mortality. And they were receptive. He says, you know, I've done this before, but they're more receptive. Well, you know why? Look, it's a craziness that's going on. It's getting people's attention. And they're looking for some light in the darkness. This one lady had her car stolen. And her Bible was in the car. And we gave her a Bible. And she was just... That was you, wasn't it? Was it you? Or a couple of them. But, yeah, she had her car stolen. And her Bible was in her car. And, you know, Bibles cost money. I mean, gosh, you go to the online or the bookstore, I mean, it can cost you bucks. Of course, everything's costing bucks these days. Brace yourself, Lynn. I got a bill in there for $86 for candy that I bought. And it was only 4 bags of candy. I mean, are you kidding me? I go up to the register because we ran out of candy. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to Stater and get some candy. I get these bags of candy and $86.95. I go, what? Okay, do it. I got to get back. You know, we got no candy, you know. I'm like, sheesh. Everything costs a lot. But it's just crazy. But people are open. And it was good that we were there. And that lady got a Bible and she goes, oh, she was so happy. You know, I had another guy, before the thing even started, I was there by myself. Michelle and Brenda had gone to McDonald's or somewhere. They went to get something to eat because they'd been there setting up. So I said, I'll watch the place. You know, you guys go. And this guy comes up. He's looking at the table. And, you know, we had a case of Bibles in my office forever. And I thought, you know, I'll just bring them and set them out on the table. And if somebody wants them, we'll give them away. Because they're not doing any good in my office, you know. So, and we had those Father's Day things that we gave away. Thermos. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. Thermos. So anyway, had some of those sitting out. So this guy comes up and he goes, how much for the Bible? I'm like, free. No. I go, yeah, take one. You can have it. How much for the thermos? Free. You know? People are suspicious when you say free. Okay, what's the hitch? You know, you're going to make me work this booth if I take these things, you know? But there's a hunger out there. Because you know what? The darker it is, even a match is bright. Even a match is bright. You know, you light a match in this room, wouldn't do anything. I mean, you'd see it, but boy, you come here, you know, at night when there's no moon and, you know, whatever, and turn off all the lights in here and light a match, it'll look really bright. And it'll light up this whole thing. Your eyes will get adjusted and you'll be amazed. You can see all this stuff. The darker it is out there, folks, the brighter the light is that we carry. The brighter the light is, the greater the influence we have. And it's good because you know what? Verse 13 is real. The road is wide and it leads to destruction. And if we stop there, you know what makes 14 so good is because 13 is so bad. You know, it gives you relevance. It gives you, I'm trying to think of the word. I don't know why my brain is just like not firing today, but just gives you something to compare it to. Because verse 13 is the way of the condemned, but verse 14 is the way of the converted. It's the way of the converted. Just as the road to hell is the road to destruction, the road to heaven is the road to life. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life. And unfortunately, few there be that find it. The straight and narrow. You know, I used to, you know, you've all heard that term, right? The straight and narrow. Always on the straight and narrow. I don't know about you, but for a whole lot of years, I understood that wrong. oh, did that startle you that I understood something wrong? No. But yeah, I always thought straight and narrow like a straight line. The straight and narrow. But that's not what that word straight means. This word straight is not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, like a straight line. It is straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. So what is that? Well, what are the straits? You have like the Straits of Magellan, you know, right below Chile there and Argentina and all that. That's, you know, how you get through from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. There's the Straits of Magellan. There's a ton of obstacles. In fact, that was like a ship's graveyard. You know, fleets would try to go through there and lose half their ships because it was treacherous. The Bosphorus, similar. They're in Turkey. This word straight literally means full of obstacles. It's a passage that has obstacles. And he says, straight is the gate. In other words, there are many things that can hinder us from entering through this gate. Think back on your life before you knew the Lord. How many things worked against you? I went through a bunch of them when we talked about the wide gate, right? All the distractions and, you know, maybe our lust for power or possessions or, you know, all these things were obstacles to us finding the truth. And that's what Satan does. He throws stuff in front of you to distract you, to be an obstacle to you, all these things. You know, God's working in your heart. I've dealt with so many people, and some people will say something like, I know I need to do this, but I'm just not ready. They've got things that are keeping them from making that decision. Things that they're holding on to. Remember what Jesus said. You know, you cannot have God and mammon in your life at the same time. You can't love both. There's something, you're going to cling to one, despise the other, hold the one, love the other, hate the one. You know, it's one or the other. Jesus said all that in this very sermon. And he's pointing it out in these two verses. It's kind of all coming together. It's full of obstacles. And you know why these obstacles work? It's our own nature. It's our pride and our selfishness. And we all got it, folks. Every one of us would like to have things their way. Some people are just more aggressive about it than others. Some are more compliant, we call it. But if you gave them their choice, they definitely have a preference. They definitely know how they'd like it to be. Many things can hinder us. Our pride, our sin nature, they're against us from the beginning. Then there are, and he actually, you know, when we get into the next messages, you know, in the future, talks about false preachers. False, quote unquote, false gospels. Because there's only one gospel. But there's a lot of false doctrine out there. And what do they appeal to? Our inherent selfishness. God, you know, this is what they'll say. God wants you to be happy, wealthy, healthy, and successful. Well, if you're not prospering, well, you know, you're doing something wrong. There's a lot of false gospels. You know, because if you're not happy, wealthy, healthy, and successful, well, you must have sin in your life or you don't have any faith. I don't know, was Peter like wealthy? Did he live long? Well, he lived fairly long, but he was executed. Paul was executed. In fact, all the disciples died, not deaths I'd ever want to die. One of them was skinned, alive. I mean, John, he wasn't killed, but he was boiled in oil and lived. I think I'd rather die. Now, does God bless? Yes, He does. Praise the Lord. You know, I do not anticipate being boiled in oil. You know, and I've had a fairly healthy life. And, you know, possession-wise, money-wise, whatever, done okay. Not rich, but, you know, comfortable. There's a blessing there. But that doesn't, you know, my Christianity, you know, the proof of my salvation doesn't rest on that. I mean, how do you preach that gospel in Ethiopia? Or Nigeria? Or anymore, even in the United States? The Lord gives us no promise of material benefits, physical well-being, or escape from danger, persecution, famine, or even death. What did he just get through in the Beatitudes? He says, "What? Blessed are they that are persecuted for my name's sake." You're blessed. That's God's blessing on you. You're being persecuted. Boy, I want to sign up for that. Obstacles, folks. You know, there's obstacles to our faith. Because our flesh doesn't want to do that. This path does not allow us to walk on it and at the same time be tolerant of sin or to crave the praise of men. Okay? Or to give in to what? The world, the flesh, and the devil are three nemesis. Is that a word? I guess it is. Nemesis. The world, the flesh, the devil. You know, the world's definitely, you know, it's luring us with power, promotion, pleasure, all those things, right? Our own flesh craves that, works against us. And the devil certainly uses all those things to get in our way of seeing the truth. Because people are blinded to the truth. You ever witness to somebody and they're just not getting it? No matter how you explain it, and it seems so simple, and it really is simple, they're blinded. They don't see. The Pharisees could not see. Jesus said, if you were blind, you'd see. But because you think you see, you're blind. Because they could not see spiritual truth. They were blinded by the stuff they were involved in. This world crucified our Lord and will be no friend to those who follow Him. Why do you think the Bible calls us overcomers? Because you overcame all those obstacles and you found the narrow gate. Now, that's not works. God saves you through His grace when you put your faith in Him. You didn't work for it. But the devil, the world, and your flesh are active in trying to keep you from seeing truth. You need to understand that. So the way is straight. It is full of obstacles. And, you know, every one of us came down a different path. What is it you had to overcome before you realized, I need the Lord? And then God did what only He could do. He got into your heart and saved you. Because you realized your need of a Savior. So the way is straight. And the way is very specific. The way is very, very specific. It's narrow. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. It's very specific. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to have eternal life. That's it. I'd like to say there was 350 different ways. Pick the one that suits you the best. But that is not the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Is that really hard to understand? It's not, is it? You know, people, they say, oh, the Bible's so complicated. Well, you know what? The verses that you really need the most are very plain. The other stuff, let all those pastors and those smart guys in the room figure it out. But the bottom line is, the truth that we need, the truth that the world needs, is very simple. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you know what? There's only one way to the Father. That's Jesus Christ. Look at this in John 10:9. We're talking about the gate, the narrow gate. What did Jesus say? I am the door. I'm the door. And by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He's the door. That's it. The only door. There's no other way. He says, and he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I always thought about that. It's kind of weird. Shall go in and out. What do you mean? Well, you lose your salvation? Are you in? Then you're out. You're in. You're out. Kind of weird, huh? But I look at it as you shall go in the narrow gate and you're out of that old road you were on. That's the way I look at it. It's the only way it makes sense to me. In the context, he's talking about being saved. There's only two roads. Before you're saved, you're on the broad path to destruction. And when you got saved, you changed paths. And you're out of here. It's like, if I'm on this bad road, I'm out of here. I'm going on this road. And I enter in, and what do you find? Pasture. And what was pasture? Wow, that's the place of rest. You know, cows, you know, we were driving somewhere, I forget where we were recently. We see these cows, and they're just kicked back. You know, they're in the pasture, and it was kind of hot, and they're just laying there. You know, some of them were getting a drink of water. Some of them were chewing some grass, but they were basically just kicking back. Isn't that cool? You shall be saved, and you shall go in and out and find pasture. For a cow in a pasture, everything's provided for. He's got water, he's got food, he's got shade, he's got comfort, soft place to lie on. You know, it's all grass, alfalfa, you know, whatever. That's quite a promise there. And it says you shall, if you enter in, you shall find it. Third verse, another verse, and perhaps this one's the most declarative. Neither, this is Peter preaching, and he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's talking about Christ in the passage. He says there's no salvation in any other. No other name. Yes, the way is specific. It's very specific. Because there's a lot of people out there that are deists. They believe there's God, but they don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. He's the way to the Father. He's the door. He's the gate. So, the way is straight, the way is specific, and you know what? The travelers are sparse. Few be that find it. Few be that find it. Not many enter through this gate. But those that do, you have the opportunity to live the abundant life. And the abundant life has nothing to do with your amount of your possessions or the quality of your health or anything like that. The abundant life is about being a child of God and knowing that and serving Him and trusting in Him and accepting from Him whatever it is He brings into your life or allows in your life, whatever that may be. That's the abundant life, because that's when God can use you, when you're just submissive to Him. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And what's interesting is this road starts off narrow. It's a narrow gate, right? It's a narrow way, but it gets so much wider. Think about it. You know, when you got saved, if most people, not all, but most people, they're just glad they're not going to hell. Wow, you mean I get heaven? Yeah, cool. Good, I'm good. You know? But the road, and that's true. I mean, hey, and that's a big perk. I mean, let's face it, you know. But there's so much more to it than what you don't get. You know, well, at least I'm not going to hell. Well, that's true, but God's got so much more. It gets so much bigger. The road starts off narrow, but it gets so much wider because you begin to grow in grace and you begin to increase your knowledge of God and His ways and the things He can do in your life. On this road, we can make wonderful and lasting friendships. It is amazing. I've been in some different countries. And when you run into believers, when you know, as soon as you find out you're, man, it's like you've known each other forever. You start talking about everything. You know, I don't share personal things with strangers, but sometimes when I'm out there and you know, you run into a person, and you know, when I was in Peru or was in Africa, and you're talking, and man, you just share stuff from your life you wouldn't normally share, because you know, God leads the conversation, those kind of things happen. And there's just a connection there, because you know what? It's a brother or a sister you're talking to. It's family. And only God can create that among all these diverse people coming from all these different families and backgrounds and all that. And yet we get in a room and we can just share stuff and weep with one another and laugh with one another and encourage one another and help one another. It's an amazing thing what God does because of our adoption into His family. This is the path of challenge. You know, people say, well, you know, being a Christian is boring. Well, then you're not really selling out. I tell you, I have not been bored these last 30 whatever years. Man, has it been that long? Yeah. Wow. 34 years, 35. I know some of you much longer. I got saved at 32. But it's not been boring. Man, I've done stuff I would have never done if I'd just stayed on my whatever road it was I was on, whatever that thing was, seeking happiness my way. Wouldn't have done half, wouldn't have done a tenth. It's a path of challenge. It's a path of fulfillment. It's a path of opportunity that is full of joy and glory. Look at this. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When your faith's being tried, you know, what does that mean? That means you're living your life and things happen that you sometimes, you know, I've been talking with some different people lately, and sometimes all I can tell them is, you know, when nothing makes sense, you just got to have faith. You know? Because nothing's making sense. Why isn't anything changing? Why isn't anything happening? Well, I don't know. But if God has you there, all I can say is have faith. Believe. I mean, always examine yourself. You know, sometimes it's us. You know, sometimes we're doing something. But if you examine yourself and you go, you know what, Lord, as far as I can tell, you know, I'm right with you. So then you just got to trust Him to say, okay, the situation is what it is. I got to trust Him. And you know what? That faith is what glorifies God. He says, whom, talking about the appearing of Jesus Christ, what? Whom, having not seen, because you know what? We've never seen Him. I mean, John got to, Matthew got to, you know, all these people got to. We didn't get to. But even though we haven't seen Him, we love Him because He saved us. And He's working in us. But in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There it is again. Joy and glory. Receiving what? The end of your faith, which is what? Even the salvation of your souls. And unlike the other path, which is wide and it narrows to the point of death, and then you find out, I've been going down the wrong path my whole life, and now I'm going to pay for it. But rather than that, this path gets bigger. Whoops. This path broadens until it ends in the fullness of eternal life. And here's the verse, Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just. Okay? Now, you may say, well, I'm not just. Well, yeah, you are. You've been declared just. When you accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, all your sin, past, present, future, have been forgiven. You are declared righteous. You are not righteous, but you're declared righteous. Okay? And you are just because God said so. It says the path of the just is as the shining light. And look at this. It shines more and more. unto the perfect day. The path gets brighter and brighter, more and more. You get closer. You know, God is light, right? And the closer you get to God, the brighter the light, folks. And the more you go down this path, the brighter the light. It gets bigger and brighter until the perfect day. What's that? That's the day we're all scared of. We're scared to die. But you know what? On that day, bam, you're with Him. That's the perfect day. Doesn't God have a different perception on that than we do? Man, we're afraid of death. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm looking to jump off a cliff just to speed it up. But you know what? If in the course of serving Him, it happens, then praise the Lord. And He calls it the perfect day. And it will be perfect. And we're going to be like, you know, it's going to be those things. You know, has there ever been something in your life you were really afraid of, and then when you did it, you found out it wasn't, you know, like really all that bad? I think there's going to be a whole bunch of us like that. You know, I was putting off death. You know, I was fighting tooth and nail, doing all this crazy stuff. And, man, this is really good. This is the best. You know what? My back doesn't hurt anymore. You know what? Some of you, my cancer's gone. And this time it's forever. Yeah, there'll be no more transfusions, right? Praise the Lord for that, right? Wow. Or no more dialysis, or, you know, all the things that different people go through daily. All that stuff's done. It is the perfect day, folks. We won't have those limitations and handicaps that come with age. It's called fullness of eternal life. There are two and only two roads for us to choose from as we make our way in this life. You know, what's interesting is we don't really choose the first road because we're born on that road. The gate's wide. Everybody enters there. But you choose, the choice is this. You either choose to stay on the road or you choose the other road. That's where the choice, you know, you're always still making a choice. There's only two roads, and you're going to be on one or the other. You choose. There is a road with a narrow gate that runs from earth to heaven. And there is a road with a wide gate that runs from earth to hell. And those are the only two roads, folks. But these roads intersect at just one place, and that's at Calvary. When you come to the cross, that's where you get to make the choice. That's where you choose. You choose to accept Christ your Lord and Savior, and you depart from the old road onto the new, the narrow road that opens up into the fullness. Or you stay on the wide road, which ends in death. But Calvary is where these roads intersect. That is your point. That's the only point of departure from the old road. Nowhere else, no other way. And at the cross, one can leave the broad road and accept Christ as Lord and Savior and go through the narrow gate and start along the road to life. Remember, though, there is no road that runs from hell to heaven. Once you die without Christ, you are in hell, and there's no way to get to heaven from hell. That's why what we do is so important. That's why, you know, going out on feeling fun days or having the fall festival where we get these kids and their parents for a short time and give them a little bit of truth. That's why we do these things. Because there's no road that go, if they die in their sin, their fate is sealed. Only in this life can you make the choice. Only in this life. Which do you choose? It is the choice of a lifetime. There may be someone here today or somebody watching. You know, I've gotten so used to this, I forget that thing's even on anymore. But there could be somebody watching. And maybe you've realized today you need to change the road you're on. You realize today you've been on the wrong path. But it was the one you inherited when you were born. It was the one that you were on automatically. But this day, this hour, this minute, maybe you've realized, you know what? I am on the wrong path. And I need to get through that narrow gate. Well, I hope you'll make that choice. We'll give you an opportunity here in a minute. For the rest of us, for the ones that have made the choice, are you having a difficult time accepting God's will? And there may be something going on in your life and you're just having a hard time with it. You need to understand where the road ends. We tend to look at where we're at right now. And while we cannot ignore where we're at right now, we've got to keep an eye on where the road ends. It ends good, folks. There's great reason to rejoice and have hope. Great reason for that. There may be someone here or somebody watching that's trying to live in both worlds at the same time. You know, kind of got one foot in the world and one foot, you know, in heaven, so to speak. Can't do it. Jesus already said that earlier in this passage, earlier in this book here, in this sermon. You cannot serve both God and mammon, or gain. Mammon meaning gain. You can't serve both. It's one or the other. And maybe you need to. Maybe there's someone here who needs to make that choice. They've been playing both sides a little bit. Maybe not consciously. You know, not that it's like evil, well, I'm going to try and do, but sometimes we do things we don't even realize we're doing them. But maybe at this moment, you just realize, you know what? I've been trying to play both sides here. And God wants me all in. God wants all of me. Not just this one part here that I give Him. Maybe somebody that needs to pray about letting go of some things. And then maybe lastly, are you living out your choice? You know, you may have made the choice, but you're not living it out. The road is wanting to be brighter and brighter, but you're just kind of staying where you are. You're staying in the shallow water. You know, what's funny, when you're small, when you're very small and you go to the water park, they got the little kiddie area. You know, the water's about a foot deep. And they got little things that squirt around, and even adults can have fun in there. You know, I mean, you get wet, especially if it's really hot. At least it cools you off. But you kind of want to get in the deeper stuff because that's where it's exciting. You know, it's not really exciting to stand in a foot of water. You know, it's like going to the beach. You know, stand there at the shore. You know, I want to get out there where the waves are. I mean, yeah, there's a little risk in that, a little fear, maybe, but that's exciting. That's good stuff. Some people are going, no, that's not exciting. But that's where the blessings are. That's where the miracles happen. Because anytime you get out in the deep water, you can get in over your head, and that's where God kicks in. I mean, you want something cool to happen in your life? Just get in over your head and trust Him. It's amazing what God can do. I hope you'll make that choice today. That's the abundant life, folks. It's getting out there and letting God do His thing, you know. We have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's... Is there anybody here today who say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I came to realize today that I am on the wrong road. I realize that I'm on the really wide road, and I need to make that choice. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've been kind of trying to live in both worlds at the same time, and I need prayer about that. I realize my need to make a commitment. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here, maybe you're having a hard time accepting God's will for you at this moment? Something's going on in your life, and man, you don't want to do it anymore, but it just seems like it's not going away. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I recognize my need to maybe get out in a little bit deeper water and let God use me in a greater way? Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray for these that raise their hand. Lord, I pray for those that did not raise their hand and they know they should have. And Father God, I pray that you would work in our lives. Give us eyes to see what you are doing in our life, Lord. Give us faith that we would trust you on these words. Lord, as these people are dealing with you and you are dealing with them, Lord, I pray you would make a very pronounced impact in their lives, Lord. Show them what you would have them do. And give them faith to do it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As whatever God has laid on your heart at this time, this is the time. This is the time to talk to Him about it. Father, Lord God, we come before you mindful of the two roads. Help us, Lord, to be the light that you've called us to be, that we would reflect you to those we come in contact with, the ones that are stumbling in the darkness, the ones that are deceived and believe they're on the right path and yet your word reveals that they're not. Father, give us faith to believe in you even when things are totally not going well for us. Father, just work in our lives that we would shine Jesus to this world. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.